Welcome to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
Come on to the theatre.
Hello, and welcome back to episode 69 of the Manx Theatre Podcast with me, Neil Callan. Thank you to everyone who's listened to our previous episodes. If you're brand new to the podcast, welcome along and thanks for joining us. In this podcast, we like to try and keep you up to date with what's going on in theatre on the Isle of Man, chatting to the cast and creatives of upcoming shows to find out a little bit more about the shows and the people behind them, and also what our Manx born and bred performers are up to further afield.
Coming up on this week's podcast,
I caught up with my fellow cast members Jack Divers, Meg Walker and Charlie Williams just before rehearsals for Two Feathers' imminent production of Little Shop of Horrors, which opens at the Gaiety Theatre on Saturday the 19th of July. You can still listen to all of our previous episodes through all the usual podcast outlets and at manxradio.com/podcasts. If you're enjoying the podcast, whilst you're there, make sure to give us a like, a 5-star review and click subscribe or follow or whatever it is you need to do to make sure you never miss an episode. Giving the podcast a review also helps make it more available for other listeners to find. Now, in the last episode, I mentioned the application for the DCU's February 2026 production of Guys and Dolls had just closed. The auditions have been happening over this weekend. The deliberations may still be ongoing as I speak, and there are a lot of nervous people waiting for a phone call or for the cast to be published on Facebook. Now, at the time of the recording, checks phone. Nope, there's still been no announcement, but I'll bring you the full cast list as soon as I can. The Isle of Man Arts Council has announced the opening of applications for student bursaries for 2025-26, supporting students studying the arts and who are moving into further, higher or postgraduate education. Up to 6 annual bursaries available, each worth £10,000 over the duration of a course. They exist to help cover the cost of travel, course fees, accommodation or equipment related to higher or further education in the arts on or off Ireland. The Isle of Man Arts Council is also inviting applications for its July funding round, with the newly updated online portal now live. Individuals and organisations are encouraged to apply ahead of the deadline on Friday the 11th of July, with successful submissions considered at the Council's next funding meeting on Friday the 25th of July. This episode has been made possible by funding from the Isle of Man Arts Council. For full details of the funding available and the application deadlines, check out their website at iomarts.com. In other news, Manx actor Joe Locke features in the latest episode of Variety's Actors on Actors, alongside British actor and fellow Marvel star Charlie Cox. Now, I've shared the link to the interview, and you can find that on the podcast Facebook page. Well, that's it for now, but make sure to keep up to date with what's going on between episodes by following Manx Theatre Podcast on both Facebook and Instagram.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
I'm joined on the podcast today by my fellow cast members from Two Feathers' imminent production of Little Shop of Horrors, which opens at the Gaiety on Saturday the 12th of July. Please welcome back Jack Divers, Meg Walker, and reclaiming joint second place on the podcast rankings, Charlie Williams.
Yes! It's the only reason I'm here.
When did he usurp me?
You've been usurped, mate. You're so far down the rankings. Oh,
this is like your second time, isn't it, Jack?
Yeah.
Charlie's on like 6 or 7.
This is your second time?
This is only my second
time. It's my second time, and Neil forgot I was here the first time.
Oh.
When did you do the first one?
The Merchant of Venice.
Oh, that's even worse.
Wow. The men, Meg. Can you imagine?
God.
It's awful.
Well, it's good there's two of us at
the
this
The masculinity
in this, podcast.
In this room Genuinely. Is disgusting right now.
In my defence, this is episode 69, so...
Hey!
Oh, yes. Okay, I'm back on the men's side.
Yes.
And we have... There has been like 130 different people on the podcast over the 5 years it's been going, so...
Nice. Which one is your favourite, Neil?
Oh, it's I think it's going to be Jack Divers, I think, yeah.
Oh, thank you. Good wow. answer.
Closely
good
followed job. By every good other job. On the Charlie.
Nice to be here.
Of course you as well, yes.
And you're here as well.
Yeah, so anyway, we're here today because we're going to talk about Little Shop of Horrors, yep. which is on in just a couple of weeks' time,
yeah.
Which is a little bit scary for us all.
Yes. Yeah.
It's been a long time coming, all of a sudden it's here, isn't it? And it's...
Mm. It's always that with shows, you think, oh, we've got months. Oh, it's next week. Oh, dear.
We've got days.
Yeah, it's literally you're going, oh, we've got 3 rehearsals left and then we're in the theatre. And it all starts getting very real, but very exciting also as well.
Yeah. And I came slightly late to the party because I'd been doing Paradox Theatre Company's excellent production of Macbeth. Over time advertising, even though it's finished. And so...
Stop advertising
a show you've already finished. And I arrived in April and you guys were already like full swing. I'm like, oh no, everyone's really, really good. I've now got to get up to this level. And yeah, so it's good. But yeah.
I think everyone did really hit the ground running with this one, though. Like,
yeah.
Everyone kind of already knew what they were doing when we started a lot.
I mean, it's a pretty well-known show, really, isn't it?
It is. And I think with Two Feathers as well, the momentum that we carried from Jersey Boys last year as well, for the likes of myself and you, we and Charlie as well, obviously.
Nice to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't call that one. You weren't in.
Yeah, you weren't in it. So, but obviously we had the momentum of that, winning Two Feathers, winning the awards at the Awards for Excellence in November as well. So it was a bit of a lease of life and this new exciting project with new cast members involved as well, like Meg.
Yeah.
But it's lovely to have you with us now. It's that family, but it's extending now even
further. Yeah, we're about 50-50, aren't we? Mm. So we've got about half of the cast has come through from Jersey Boys last year and half of the cast are new this year, which is great. So it's based on a film from like 1960, which was then turned into a musical in about 1986, directed by Frank Oz.
Of the Muppets. Yeah. And Voice of Yoda.
Voice of Yoda, yes.
And Miss Piggy.
Yes. Voice of Yoda, Miss Piggy, and Fozzie Bear as well.
Yes.
I didn't know any of this information.
Oh my God, you're a fetus.
I do not know anything about Child.
Sorry.
I'm going to make you watch Muppet Treasure Island.
No,
I've seen Muppet's Christmas Carol.
That's okay.
Okay, Fozzie Bear, the puppeteer of that, and the voice of that, cool. Is Frank Oz.
Love that.
Also voiced Yoda.
Who is Mr. Fezziwig in Christmas Carol for reference.
Yes, thank you. I needed
that. Getting back to the Little Shop of Horrors. So, I mean, I guess it's quite a well-known show, but for anyone who doesn't really know the show, Jack, give us an idea of the story without giving any way too much spoilers.
I keep trying to explain the synopsis to people and it just makes it sound like I'm on crack. Because if you've watched Rocky Horror Picture Show, I refer it to Rocky Horror Picture Show because that's a cult classic, and
yes.
I feel like Little Shop of Horrors is very much that as well. It's slightly mental. A little bit about it. I play Seymour Crowborn, who is a botanist who works on Skid Row, which is like a down-and-out street where people go. There's not much hope there. And all of a sudden, he loves his weird and strange plants, and he finds this weird and strange plant that he can't identify on a weirdly mysterious day, and almost like an alien, haha. And this plant has a penchant for blood, as Seymour discovers trying to feed it and grow it, and then discovers that, actually, I need to feed it full humans. And just to get what he wants, because he's deeply in love with his work colleague, you know, workplace romance, woof, but hey, here we are.
Hey, I got married to a workplace romance.
She's now your wife.
Yeah.
And you have a workplace romance with me at theatre as well, so it's a...
She's fully aware of that.
Welcome to theatre, folks. Anyway, so it's a bit of a mental story, but the music behind it from Alan Menken, and it's actually... All right. I mean, you have children.
Yes.
Would you bring your children to watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's not like it's as much as there's people being eaten by a plant. It's not murderous. There's no swear words. There's nothing like that. So it is actually kind of, inverted commas, fun for all the family.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, Daniel's rather excited because this is the first show he's actually probably been able to come and see, because all the stuff we've done in recent years, like Jersey Boys last year, had a little bit of swearing.
Oh, and Poco. Poco swearing.
Just a little bit of swearing. So he couldn't really come see that. But this is a great show. So he's really looking forward to come and see this. So talking of Audrey and the love interest, Meg, that's the role that you're playing.
Yes.
So tell us about...
Tell you about Audrey.
Yeah, tell us about Audrey, yeah.
So she's really cute. I love her. So yeah, she works in the florists with Seymour, and she's had a bit of a rough time of it, but she's very, very positive and bubbly and just gets on with stuff. And she's in a relationship with the dentist, played by Charlie, who's not very nice to her.
Understatement.
And then, but then, you know, things blossom, thank you, with Seymour.
And a plant reference. I see you, Meg Walker.
See what I'm doing. Yeah, with Seymour. And it's kind of like, oh, the nice guy that was there all the time. And then she kind of realizes that it's him she wants to be with and live happily ever after.
Yeah.
Will they, won't they? Who knows? You'll have to come and watch.
And speaking of this horrendous dentist boyfriend.
Yes.
Charlie Williams.
I play Oren Scrivello, the much maligned...
DDS.
And DDS. the... Yes, the dentist. He's normally known as the dentist. That's how everybody, I think, refers to him. That's how he's kind of referred to in by people who know the show. His name's referred to in the show, but I've never ever heard anyone go, "Oh, you're playing Oren Scrivello." You're playing the dentist. He's just insane. I mean, I'm on stage for probably no more than 20 minutes in the entirety of the show.
Thank God.
And I think... I'm going to jump across this desk. The problem is, though, I come off stage after I'm no longer on the stage. And...
Massey put.
I'm just dripping in sweat. Like,
It's an intense 20 minutes.
It's an intense 20 minutes.
Yeah, the state of you after the full run yesterday.
I know. I actually thought I was going to have some, like, perspire or, like, well, expire. He's just a really unhinged kind of crazy character who's a violent sadist, really. You know.
And loves
as
it.
All dentists are.
Yes. It's a bit of an occupational hazard, isn't it?
So the dentist community is now going to boycott the show.
So looking at the rest of the cast, then obviously I'm playing Mr. Mushnick, who's the flower shop owner that employs both Jack and Meg.
Yep.
Or Audrey and Pop. Seymour.
And you're doing an excellent job.
Oh.
He is. We may add, obviously, he's a host, so he can't really interview himself. We should probably interview you. Tell us a bit about your character, Neil.
Well, my character is a bit of a grumpy old fella who runs a flower shop and just about kind of puts up with Seymour and Audrey, the staff. I mean, it's not the most affluent part of New York, is it? So
No. There
isn't a great deal of customers coming in, and the business is on its dying, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then, you know, suddenly along comes Seymour with this wonderful plant, and everyone's interested, and everyone's coming to the shop, and suddenly the fortunes change, and he sees the dollar bills, and he's like, ah, this is wonderful. And then he chooses to adopt Seymour, thinking that if I've got Seymour, then Seymour's with me, and I have all this money, and have all the fame, and it's going to be great. Yeah.
And then you run away to Czechoslovakia.
Yes, to see my sister.
Shame.
Yes. Big meanie.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a great part. I did realise the other week at rehearsals here that I am the oldest member of the cast.
Oh. Aww.
Just surrounded by
Are you wanting us to do something about that?
I don't know what to say. Just get older. Feel better about that.
Yeah, it happens, mate. It's going to happen.
It's
going to be
happening more often now, yeah.
It's getting worse for us as well, don't worry.
It's you, then Jack, who's... Thought you now 57, Leah.
At least I don't look it like you.
Oh yeah, I know.
You're 3 months younger than me.
Don't tell people that. 7 years old on this internationally listened to podcast.
Recognised, yes,
I am.
Internationally recognised, yes. Podcast. No, not you.
Oh,
I think. Oh,
moving swiftly on to the rest of the cast. Otherwise, we'll still be here at 9 o'clock, and we've got to run.
And another thing,
we've got a run to do tonight, so we need to get on. So the rest of the cast, we have our wonderful urchins, who are played by Bryony Grant, who is Ronette, Lauren Molyneux, who is Crystal, and Catherine Toohey, who is Chiffon.
They're amazing. The three of them are amazing. I mean, we did the first thing through when I came and joined everyone, and it was like principals were all sat around Sarah and Dave's house, and they just started singing, and I went, oh,
we
oh,
all
oh no, they're
all
really
collectively
good.
Got like shivers listening to them for the first time. Yeah. And if I mean, if people watched Jersey Boys and they loved it for the harmonies, I mean, these girls are in line, if not better than that was. Because well, I mean,
the harmonies are so tight. Yeah. They're three really fantastic, amazing singers in their own right.
Yeah.
But put them together, and the sound is just oh, it's like
they just naturally get it, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, they're just awesome.
So the urchins, and they kind of... It's kind of hard to describe what they are. They kind of...
The urchins that I describe, because obviously they are always kind of there when I'm going there, and they are kind of characters within the world, but they're not. They are almost like the vines and the bidding of the plant.
Yeah.
They are the subconscious. Like, you know, like the angel and devil that you get on your shoulder?
Yeah, yeah.
I almost see them like that. They're always there, just kind of going, oh, why don't you do this? Or steering the story where they want to go. They're almost like a narrator within the story. They're there. They're talking to Audrey. They're talking to Seymour. They're always part of something. They interact with the dentist. I think they are the one constant within the show. I mean, actually, yeah, I think they're probably more. They are the biggest part of the show in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, they top and tail the whole show, don't they? They give the intro and they give the outro, and they are there. You're right. Yeah, they are there within every song. They're there somewhere in the stage, either singing, joining, or just watching. And yeah, I mean,
and they're phenomenal. We've got a great set of girls.
Certainly do. And onto the plant, then onto Audrey too. We have Ian Manton, who is the voice of Audrey too.
And he's
debut on the Gaiety stage.
Debut, yes.
Debut on the Gaiety stage.
On? Behind. Yeah, well, no, he will
no,
be
in any, no, I don't well. Think he's done
yeah,
anything.
He actually will, yeah.
He's never done a show, has he?
No, but I meant he, because obviously...
Oh, no, he is on stage, yeah. No, I stage physically. Yeah, don't worry, yeah. I had thought about that before I said debut on the Gaiety stage. But no, he's great. Ian's absolutely great.
He's a singer with, what's his band called?
I
think it's 995?
Yeah.
Yes, maybe. So he's lead singer with 995, and it's his first foray into theatre, and his voice is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's so very good. Yeah. As much as I wanted to also be the voice of the plant, I...
But then you realised you're terrible at doing like voices in the back of your mouth.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those. I walked into the audition and I obviously hadn't heard him before, and I heard him in the room and I went, oh my God, who is that? Because usually you can, you know, we know enough people around here that we can go, we know who that is in the audition room.
Yeah.
I walked in and I heard Ian doing it and I was like, first of all, who is that? Because I have no idea who that voice is. And also, who is that? Because that is really, really damn good. And yeah, he's proven it and he's jumped into it and he's doing a great job.
And there's another half to Audrey too as well, because we have Zach Colligan, who's the puppeteer, I guess.
He will be the plant you see on the stage.
He will, yes, because as the plant grows, it gets bigger and it needs to be manhandled by someone, and that's Zach. So Zach's also part of the ensemble as well, but he's got an enormous job to do puppeteering the bigger versions of Audrey too. So he's going to be pretty hench by the end of the run.
I think I'm the only one out of the three of us who doesn't interact with the active plant. I've just realised that.
Yeah.
But the plant is immobile when I'm in the room.
Yeah.
But you three interact with it when it actually...
Yes, the only time you interact with a moving plant is...
Don't speak about them. Is when the show is finished and I get to just mess around.
I don't think we actually interact on stage either.
No, we are on stage at the same time, but through the miracle of theatre, we don't see each other.
Exactly, yes.
No, we don't. We don't interact, no.
So moving on to the rest of the ensemble then, to round out this really small cast, actually, because there's only, 14 of us, 15 of us? Yeah. So we've got Andrew Dighton, and we have to mention Andrew, because last year in the Jersey Boys one, we mentioned everyone in the cast and forgot Andrew. So, yes. No. Andrew...
I don't know how, this is because Andrew is like a staple of Manx theatre at this point.
It's a bit like listing all the shops in Strand Street and forgetting to mention Marks and Spencer's.
Yeah.
The biggest character in all of the thing.
I'm just going to blame it on Alex Toohey, so...
Yeah, that's fair.
I just generally blame everything on Alex Toohey, to be honest. Yeah. Stuff that goes wrong.
If in doubt, blame the producer.
Work. And Andrew's one of those people that, I mean, all of the ensemble do the same. They're all playing about four or five different parts each and filling all the extra sort of customers in the shops and the painters and the decorators and the plant deliverers and all those.
Radio presenters.
And Andrew is, of course...
Yes, radio presenter, yes.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's bringing back his role, his
back as the
his
DJ. Radio,
back as the DJ. The Two Feathers DJ, as he basically
now is. He is now the titular Two Feathers DJ at this point.
We've also got Ellie Quayle. She's new to Two Feathers this year, so she's another one of our newbies.
After
so
her recent starring role in Chicago as Hunyak.
Yes. Eve Pizarre, back again after last year.
Yeah, again. Yeah.
She was one of the angels last year. We've also got Joseph Long, another newbie for us this year.
He's a newbie for us, but he's been part of the theatre background before. But he's been out of the game for a little while.
Yeah.
But he's been excited to. You wouldn't know it. He's an absolutely fantastic actor. I remember watching Joe in the auditions, where we just did workshopping stuff, and we were getting to do workshops of like characters within Skid Row. And I remember watching Joe, and I just went, "Oh my God, I love it!"
Yeah,
like his face, the way he works, and the way he understands it—it's just amazing.
I find it so hard not to break in the scene we have with Joe
in the shop.
It's so good. So good. I just want to laugh.
He comes from a long lineage as well of performers, because his grandfather is John Cashin, OBE, former chairman and president of the Manx Operatic Society.
And he is our in-house counsel, as his parents actually own a florist shop.
Yes.
So
do they?
They do, indeed, yes. What's
that? We also have Kendra Maddox. Kendra is new this year as well. I think she's the youngest member of the cast, isn't she?
She is. She's 16, yeah.
Yes, but she was recently part of High School Musical in the summer last year.
Gabriela Montez.
Yes. She was one of
One
of the leads. She's a really fantastic talent.
She's got a fantastic voice.
Yeah. My daughter who's four, was just in a sing-up show. She's associated with sing-up, Kendra, and she came on just like, She's so good. She's like, her singing voice is amazing. So, yeah.
And last but not least, Sean Rini. So Sean is new to Two Feathers this year, but he's been making a bit of a name for himself with Centre Stage, and he's been in a couple of Parados as well, hasn't he?
He was, yeah. He was in Merchant of Venice with us and Macbeth most recently. So, yeah, no, he's doing all sorts. He's got good range, Sean.
Yes.
He's a good...
he's very committed, Sean. He's along the same lines as Andrew Dighton in the fact of, you know, he does most shows, he's always there, or he's there helping backstage, or you know, he was there, everyone's talking about Jamie helping backstage. Sean has a real love for theatre, and it's so nice.
Yeah, if he's not on stage, he's backstage.
Yeah, because he was backstage for Jersey Boys, so he's been with Two Feathers during the show, but this is his first time on stage.
And of course, we're directed again by the powerhouse couple behind Jersey Boys, Tara Overfield-Wilkinson and Mark Hilton.
Well, as they lovingly refer to each other, wifey and hubby.
Yes.
Even though they have no romantical connections.
Or legal ones.
and Tara is actually married.
Yes.
Yeah. Just not to Mark.
Yes.
They've been fantastic as always. I mean, I always marvel that, you know, your Mark goes into such detail in terms of the character analysis and working with you and what, you know, working out the process and why you get to where you're going and how you're playing things. And then Tara's vision for musical theatre, which is second to none in my view. You can be in a room for 10 minutes and just rework an entire scene. You go, oh, that is so much better than it was previously. And you go, okay, I'm done now, let's go and just do that. And it's just great. You know, it's great to kind of have that approach.
I mean, one of our first sessions with Mark, the three of us, Megan and Jack, we were sort of working out the sort of the relationship between Mushnick and Seymour and Audrey, and sort of, you know, well, how long have they known each other? How long have they been working for? And we realised that, you know, he rescued Seymour from the Skid Row boys' home at a young age, and he's been sleeping under the counter since. And but, you know, it worked out that, you know, Audrey's probably working him for a few years, and she's got a side job as well.
Yep.
To keep her going.
There's also looking into other things, like, you know, we know Mushnick's second name. It's stuff for details of going, we don't know Audrey's second name.
No.
Why don't we know Audrey's second name? We know both Seymour Crowborn, but we don't know Mushnick's first name.
He's just Mr. Mushnick.
It's looking into stuff like that and why we only refer to those characters as that. And Mark's fantastic at finding those details. Mm. And as Charlie said, Tara's just an absolute, I mean, she has such credentials with having just recently done Mrs. Doubtfire, Come From Away, all those sort of things. But she is just incredible to work with in the room, because it's never, she always makes you feel like she's trying to get the best out of you. And it's just, you never leave a rehearsal with her going, oh, she's a bit pissed off with me, or I don't know if I'm allowed to swear. I don't know if that class is a swear. It'll be fine. I shouldn't have acknowledged it. Anyway, but you never leave the room thinking, oh, she's angry with me or frustrated. She always gives you a sense of pride in yourself and building you up to do the best that you can.
And it's letting you feel involved as well, and like that you can, there's nothing worse than a director that just doesn't listen to you. And it's like, well, I'm the one playing them, so these are my thoughts and this is how I feel about this. And it is very, like, has been very collaborative.
Yeah, you really feel like you've had an input into the character. Because, like, you know, sometimes a director comes along, right, you're going to come in here, you're going to walk like that, you're going to look over there, and you're going to say the line like this.
You don't agree with it, and then you've got
which
that.
Which, in certain shows and in certain styles, has its place, absolutely.
Yes.
But on the other side, in stuff like this, working with, like, having that collaboration, go, I don't feel comfortable doing that. She's like, okay, well, how can we, what do we need to do to make you feel comfortable? Or, you know, what do we do that makes you feel comfortable as that character?
Yeah.
Put your clothes back on, Jack.
Never.
No, that's you, Charlie. Okay, I think, you know, we need to get on because we've got a run to do. But before we do...
run? What about the show?
Get out.
So way back in 2020, just after the lockdown, we set up the Manx Theatre Podcast Spotify Ultimate Mutual Theatre playlist. And Neil King and I, who was my co-presenter at the time, we each put 10 songs in to get the playlist going, because, you know, a playlist with two songs is really short and boring. So every person who's come onto the podcast since then has added a new song onto the playlist. Now, these songs are all songs that are something special to us, the songs that we've sung in a show, or from a show that we've been in that we just really, really like. Megan, have you had a thought of a song that you would like to add to the playlist? And tell us why.
Well, obviously there are songs on there already from this show, but...
Yeah, sorry, that was mine. I had Suddenly Seymour was like the number one entry, sorry.
Well, yeah. No, yeah, I looked on it with the first one. But I would like Summonex Supper Time Reprise.
The funk in this song is unreal. I can't help but groove. It's so good.
Hey, little lady, hello.
Or just the bass line in the song. Like, as much as I've got to be sad coming into this scene, I'm going to be grooving in the wings because it's so good.
Yeah. So that's mine because it's just the most fun.
It is.
To do.
Good choice.
And you're in a wonderful place when that happens as well.
Yes.
Well, to begin with.
Yes.
And at the end.
Well, to be fair.
Well, yeah.
She gets what she wants.
Yes.
I don't know. Because I'm...
You're not there.
on a boys' holiday.
Charlie, you've already had a few songs. You're not going to get another one, I'm afraid.
How many have I had now? I think it's two.
There's at least two, yeah.
More like a man.
Jack, I'm not sure whether Jack's actually had...
I was looking through this playlist before, and I was like, I don't know if one of these is from me or not.
Yeah, I can't remember what I picked the first time.
On the list, it says your name. Oh, no, sorry, the list that I've got has...
you just sent me the Spotify.
Can you not read his mind and just know what
this is? I'll have another one, though. I'm stuck between two, and one of them I feel is very me. The other one I feel is... Well, also me. The first one is... I'm going to say Make You a Man from Rocky Horror Picture Show. Because I watched this show the other week, and it's one of my all-time... Anyone will tell you, it's one of my all-time favourite shows. I'm not going to go for the classic Sweet Transvestite and all that stuff. Make You a Man is just one of those, has got something about it that I love. If I ever get the opportunity to play that role... Yeah, Unspeakable Things. Anyway.
I'm not going to let you do it, because if you do, then we'll no longer be friends, because then you'll have used me for the purpose of it.
And I will fully retire. Yep. At that point, I will be officially retired. I've ticked it off. It's gone.
I mean, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, but I was in Rocky Horror Show back in 2000.
Really? Were you?
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, that song, Make You a Man, is one of my favourites from the show. It's such a fun number. So.
Neil played the horror.
Oh, God, make it stop.
Right, guys, thank you very much. We need to get on with rehearsal, so we better finish up here. So Little Shop of Horrors runs at the Gaiety Theatre from Saturday the 12th to Saturday the 19th of July, with performances nightly at 7:30 p.m. There's also matinee performances on both Saturdays at 2:30 p.m. and I believe the second Saturday is also the caption performance.
Yes.
There is no show on the Sunday, 13th of July, so we all get a day off. Yay!
Hooray!
If you've not done so already, you can get your tickets now from villagaiety.com or by calling 600-555. Jack, Meg, Charlie, thanks for joining me on the podcast today, and we better go off to rehearsals. Cheers, bye.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast with Neil Cullen.
Let's have a quick look forward at what's still to come this year. First up, as we've already mentioned, it's Two Feathers with Little Shop of Horrors from the 12th to the 19th of July at the Gaiety Theatre. Then, Taylorian Productions are next at the Gaiety with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which runs from the 31st of July to the 9th of August. Parados Theatre Company follow this with a brand new play called In Their Blood, which was written by the former young actor of Man, Ori Wilson, and plays at the King's Court Theatre from the 14th to the 16th of August. This dramatic play, set in 1833, revolves around the lives of miners and their families in the Isle of Man. It explores themes of ambition, love, betrayal, and the harsh realities of life in a mining community. Tickets are now on sale for Madford's production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, which will be performed in the grounds of Government House on the 5th, 6th and 7th of September. A link can be found on both Madford and our Facebook page. On the 5th of October at the Ville Marina, Stage Ed present the musicals in concert featuring Stephen Palfreman and his West End chums and students from their summer holiday stage school, bringing you all the hits from the West End and Broadway. From the 10th to the 18th of October, Centre Stage Productions are bringing the band to the stage of the Gaiety, all set to a backdrop of Take That's Greatest Hits. Next up is the Service Players again, who will be presenting Henrik Ibsen's A Doll's House, directed by Daniel Sebastian Gray, at the Balcomaine Studio Theatre from the 20th to the 22nd of November. Well, with that, we bring episode 69 to a close. Thanks once again to Jack, Meg and Charlie for joining me on the podcast, and we wish them and everyone involved with Two Feathers' production of Little Shop of Horrors all the very best for opening night and their run. Don't forget to check out the Spotify playlist by searching for Manx Theatre Podcast. There are 118 tracks in there now, and over 8 hours of show tunes to satisfy your musical theatre needs. If you have any events that you'd like me to talk about or promote on a future episode, you can contact me through the podcast's social media accounts or by email to manxtheatrepodcast@gmail.com. All that remains is to say thanks for listening, and I hope you join me again next time. I've been Neil Callan, and you've been listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast. Goodbye.
The Manx Theatre Podcast, taking a look behind the scenes of Manx Theatre.
An actor's life for me.